who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. We have just read a verse of scripture which speaks of the joy and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecstasy and the agony which so often characterizes human effort. Madame Curie washed pitch blende, a black mineral substance, day after day until she held in her hand a few grams of radium. But she washed her health away and died of tuberculosis in 1934. Her agony was rewarded with the ecstasy of knowing that she had revealed the substance which was to be the panacea of those afflicted with cancer. What was the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ which made him endure the cross? It was the joy of reinstating man to a place of fellowship with God. Adam, man's primeval ancestor, enjoyed this fellowship, but by his disobedience he lost it and fell away from what God intended him to be. From then on, man's life became a mere existence. From then on, man has sought to find restoration by reaching out with human effort to stem the gap between God and man. Some, like Buddha, give themselves to seclusion and meditation. Others do acts of penance and mortification. Some lie on beds of nails or roll their way over hot sands to sacred shrines. But all these efforts leave man where he started, because man, fallen logically, cannot lift himself up by his own bootlaces. Only one who has not fallen could help him. Consequently, there was need for a God-man, one who was truly divine and truly human and sinless, who could be the connecting link between God and man. This was the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ, which impelled him to endure the cross and become the at-one-ment between God and man. But why a cross and agony? When God was flouted in the Garden of Eden, he needed to be appeased, and his honor was injured, and like a loving father, he grieved over the action of Adam. An iron curtain had fallen, separating God from man. Adam could have apologized, but his offense was equal to that of treason, and the only answer for treason has always been execution or death. Man became worthy of death, but God made a way of escape through the simple and satisfactory means of substitution. He permitted Adam to slay an earthly lamb, and the lamb dying in Adam's place appeased the anger of God, and thereby a medium of fellowship was found and established. All through the Old Testament era, we read of men bringing lambs to the altar, but God had pre-planned a permanent work of salvation by sending his Son, who would die once for all and for all men everywhere. So when Jesus came and approached John the Baptist for baptism, John identified him to the people. He could have said, "Behold, the Christ," or "the Messiah," but he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus was the only one, the sinless God-man, who could die an expiatory death, and in doing so, in Adam's place instead, could satisfy the heart of God. It was this that made the cross so necessary and inevitable, and it meant suffering and agony to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the ecstasy and the agony of Calvary, which have become the greatest events in the history of humanity. In fact, all history revolves around these events, because time was divided into B.C. and A.D. ever after Jesus came to redeem humanity. Since then, all humanity has been divided into two camps, believers and non-believers. After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, Christianity spread to the Roman Empire, and several emperors did all they could to stamp out Christianity, but they failed. The good news of the gospel spread and has kept on bringing salvation and peace to all men everywhere. The 18th century particularly saw doors open to the gospel as great evangelists like William Carey went to India, David Livingstone, who went to Africa, and Hudson Taylor, who went to China. Men of all races and color have since come to Christ in millions, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How is it with you? Are you still under the Adamic sentence of death? The fact that Christ died for all men does not include you until you accept him personally as your Savior. Life jackets are on every ship, sufficient for every person on board. But in the event of shipwreck, only those who obtain a life belt and put it on are saved. Even so with salvation. John 5:24 says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Come with your sin, your sorrow and care. He will not turn away from your prayer. Come to the cross. He died for you there, sinner. He bids you come.